Whoa now, what's happening? This is Maniacum and this Councilman speaking from the future about the past and the present. Hustle hard, work harder. It's now or never. Big Brother coming dropping some knowledge. Listen up and enjoy these words. You can follow me at Maniacal Menace on Instagram or maniacalmenace.com. That's ManiacalMenace. I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
I'm trying to get that shit off the ground this year.
Yeah, okay.
So my first release with the shirt's gonna be for the Tipitina show.
February 1st. And that's you making your own, all of your own shirts.
Yeah.
The next phase, goddammit.
Yeah.
What's up? Goddammit, back again with another edition of Tell Me a Joke. The guideline of chasing the dream. I'm your host, the Maniacal Menace. Today, man, I have a highly anticipated entrepreneur. Like, this motherfucker's been all over and doing what we are all striving to do at this point in time, and he makes it look like it's easy, even though it's not. We all know it's not. He's out here getting it. Goddamn it, he's been doing his thing for a goddamn minute that I just found out, and like. We all strive to look like our bigger brothers in comedy, and so man, give it up for motherfucking Mark Caesar.
Yeah,
what's happening, man?
I'm happy to be here.
Yes, sir. In your humble abode here.
Yeah, we in the crib.
Come on,
man.
Looking lovely. I love it. Yeah. This is what's up, son. It has been a long journey, and like ever since the beginning of me doing comedy down here, like you've always been in the scene and. I've always wondered, like, because it was very segregated at some point when we first started between, like, just all urban crowds to, like, other all-white crowds and mixed crowds, basically where the other side where we would be at.
Right.
You'd be over in the trenches with them urban crowds. That bitch, if you don't come with it, nigga, we'll ignore the fuck out of you or make it very rough for you. So, like, and finally these times emerging to where, like, we actually get to see like older comics that have been doing this in the city for the longest.
Yeah.
Like, cause like the term Soul New Orleans, when you think about that, there's certain people that you're gonna think about. Like,
right.
You're one of them. Goddamn Mario P is one of them. Fucking DC is another one. Just like y'all niggas is Soul New Orleans, son. Like,
see, the thing about it is that what a lot of people don't know or don't remember is when I first started comedy, my crowds were all white.
Mm.
Because of where I started at. You know what I'm saying? Like, starting on Forest Street.
Oh,
you
for
dig?
Real.
And that's my neighborhood where I grew up. So my crowds were all white at first.
Yeah.
So I had to jump in the trenches like 07. Like 07, I jumped in the trenches and
just had to switch the game up.
Yeah, yeah. But just, you know, attacking myself, you know, to make myself more versatile.
Yeah. It has since we've been doing it, you have came like out of everybody that we've seen. Of course, we see who's doing like really well. Everybody has like found their own lane.
Yeah. First off, the scene is hot.
The scene is nice.
The scene is hot.
I'm loving what's going on down here. I'm hoping that like with what I'm doing, I can have things just branch out from out here to where it's just multiple states and shit being able to come and collaborate within one. Like, everybody's not trying to do that, but I just feel as if I have a certain type of value to add to this by doing
a
that.
Type
so,
of je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. I think what I could bring something to the table as well. besides just sticking to the city. I was speaking of nonsense, and nonsense was like, man, I'm gonna be so New Orleans till I die. So he's like, yeah. I don't know if I'm gonna want to branch out.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I'm gonna.
Some people are cool with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, uh-huh. Nonsense got in the game already over 40.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? First show already over 40. So it's like, you know, what more? Just the fact of him doing it is big. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
For him, like, he had a whole career.
Yeah.
That you didn't probably already then settle down, get ready to retire from.
Right.
And now you about to jump in the comedy. But at least you got some shit to talk about.
Right. That's the monster that wakes up the beast on the inside. When a motherfucker wants to do comedy, that's life now.
Yeah.
Nigga, that's bae.
Right.
And it's like, you don't know what else to do besides like, oh, this is where I want to make my money from, and this is basically what we out here doing. Like, this is you have like the next level in comedy, in getting to the next stage in comedy.
Right.
Like, you're on this next level. It's like, all right, I've gotten my logo and I've gotten my following. Now merch.
Right.
And now we're capable of being able to get our own equipment to make our own merch instead of having to go through the fucking.
It's so different now.
Yes. We can monetize everything down into one to where we can do it ourselves, and then you are on a precipice of that level right now, and this is what we all looking for. This is what we all are striving to do. I mean, everybody that I've came up into the comedy game with is kind of like in this process, or you know, like in the process of finding more of a revenue for their arts and for their outlets.
Right, because at the end of the day, man, the kind of bread that's being made in comedy isn't the same as it was, say, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
like the money has changed when it comes to comedy. So you got to find ways to supplement that and make bread.
Mm-hmm.
Like in all honesty, I tell people this, you ain't going to make no real bread until, you might not never make no real bread. You know what I'm saying? Just thinking about it, like, you might not never make no real bread. And that's you have to be okay with that.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be fine with knowing that, you know what? I love doing it.
Right.
And then when some bread come, okay,
then boom. Mm-hmm.
Then okay, now things are starting to look a little bit better, and you start having more of a business mindset towards your career and towards the way you go about doing shows.
So the mindset just kind of comes. Like I've always was worried about that. Like
yeah,
I ain't never really been in school for business or anything like that. It's like you gotta go to school
the
for
thing
it or some
is,
shit like that.
You're gonna start ripping shit. And you be ripping shit. But like, say I'm speaking in general.
Yeah.
You'll start ripping shit and it get to the point where you ripping it, you killing it, and it's like, I need to find a way to make some real bread.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't like you could go, we ain't in a position, none of us in a position to go tell a venue, hey, yeah, I want to come do a show at your venue, but I also think you should pay me this amount of money to come do your venue.
Yeah.
If you luck up and get a bar that give you a bar percentage
mm-hmm.
of who you bring in there that night, you're doing pretty good. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That's fine. Because most places in New Orleans, it's even hard to charge to get in.
Yeah.
Because it's a free-ass city. Like, there's so much stuff you can do for free before you would decide that you're going to go to a comedy show.
Right.
So, you know, you got to take those things into account.
That's what makes me so nervous. It's like, how the hell do you go about actually finding places or actually getting a place to go with you on that fact that, hey, I'll be able to bring the people in here. You know, do you bring a tape? Like,
you just got to hope. Most venues won't care who you are.
Mm.
They'll like, can you bring some people in here?
Right.
They don't care if you're funny or not. Like, can you bring some people in here?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can bring some people in there, okay, then things start to be a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? They don't really care as long as some people being bought through the door.
Right.
And that's the thing that kind of helps and hurts.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It hurts because what if you really, really are, like, putting this shit down
mm-hmm.
and you can't get a venue to fuck with you because they got burned by another person that was before you.
Right.
You know, so that's hard too.
Huh. The whole bunch of options that right, you have
to think
about.
Right, it's so much.
God damn. Just the journey of actually wanting to be more successful with this art form of comedy is very difficult, because it's simple when it comes to like when it comes to music and all that, and other people that can have a DJ and shit, which mm-hmm. all right, it might be difficult to get your DJ together, but as long as you got music or something for people to listen to that people give a fuck about, like yeah. it's real simple for that. But hey, when it comes to comedy, just being up there by yourself having to corral a crowd is
just us.
Yeah. That's
it's just us.
That's that fear that gets everybody, that makes other people stray away from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't think the whole world will want to become comics, but everybody think they funny.
They think they funny.
Yeah. And so it's like, all right, you think you're funny until you get to that stage. Then you get on that stage, it's like, oh, there's other people looking right. back
Ooh,
at me that I
not,
don't know.
This not what I thought.
Yeah. Mm-mm. It's a different lifestyle to be up on that goddamn stage up there. Like, all right, so I've always thought that the only time you should have merch is like when you're on the road doing things like that. Just that was my thinking behind it.
Yeah.
But like apparently, like even if you're not on the road or anything like that,
because
it's always good to just have merch wherever you go.
Because exactly. Because I look at it like this, right? If I sell two pieces of merch, two items, I'm winning.
Mm-hmm.
If I sell two items, I'm winning. That's just how I look at it, because that just adds on to them two items might cover my gas.
Yeah.
For the next week. You right. know what I'm saying? Like I might be able to fill my tank up
right.
off just selling that merch. You know what I'm saying? Selling that at home, you can't never underestimate. And also what that does is that makes people become a fan of yours because they got a little piece of item. Now they're gonna see it. I'm like, oh, that's that comedian. And they
right.
it's in their brain now. So not only are you selling something to them, but you're selling yourself to them
mm-hmm.
also.
Mm. Oh, that's a piece of them that's always gonna be. That's a piece of you that's always gonna be with them. That's wild. How's that feel when you really have all these people that know a little bit about the insides of your life?
Yes. Yeah. At the end of my set, I might say, "Hey, who wanna take me home with them tonight?" You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's gotta be because you've been around and you've been all over with different people. Like, I don't know the feeling of, like, what's the biggest crowd you performed in front of?
I'm thinking the biggest crowd I might have performed in front of, this is a hard question, because I've done Essence twice.
Okay.
And I did Essence Beyonce night.
Oh, wow.
So do I take Beyonce numbers?
I would go for Beyonce.
Right, I should go for Beyonce numbers, right?
That's the most, bro. I mean, just, I don't think you'd be able to outdate that at
right.
any point in time. If you just
exactly.
Go
no, at no point
regardless.
In my career, ever. I don't care how big I get. Nigga, I'm not, you not Beyonce,
yeah,
my G.
No.
You, even if you're Kevin Hart, you're not Beyonce. You're not fucking Beyonce.
Yeah.
There's two people. There's Michael Jackson, and there's Beyonce.
Right.
You not Beyonce.
You're not getting it.
I did perform at Essence on Beyonce night.
Uh-huh.
So do I be like, yeah, you know, that was Beyonce night. Do I be like, hey, fuck it. 80,000 was in that motherfucker.
That's a lot of people.
80,000 was in that motherfucker, and I'm claiming 80,000 my biggest crowd. When in all actuality, I was in the Super Lounge. And I probably had about 300 people in the Super Lounge.
That's still a nice number. That's still a good amount.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
But I did, I would say Fried Chicken Fest might be my biggest crowd.
Fried Chicken Fest.
Outside festival,
mm-hmm.
over 100,000 patrons.
Yeah.
I would say Fried Chicken Fest was my biggest. You would say Fried Chicken Fest? Probably my biggest crowd? Because that's just open numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Fried Chicken Fest,
yeah,
open numbers.
Yeah, a whole bunch of people. How's that feel? Like when? Because I know it's just a whole bunch of people walking around, but who's actually paying attention?
That's the thing. I was able to pinpoint who was actually paying attention. Hey, you made a 35-minute set.
Oh, shit.
Outside. With the Creole Queen passing behind me.
Oh, my God. That damn paddle boat just coming through.
Bro, there's a picture of me on stage, and the boat is directly behind me. It looked like they stopped to watch my set.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fun.
So, you know, so that's tight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I would say Fried Chicken Fest, because even though I've done the Singer and the Joy and things like that, what else? Were, you know, the Singer is a 2,600 seater. I've done Mahalia Jackson. But I would say I'm gonna have to go with Fried Chicken Fest. But I would say as far as tickets show with tickets being sold, I'm gonna go with Boogie's Comedy Slam with tickets being sold. I say that's biggest crowd. Because that's over 2,000 easily.
Yeah.
Just in the Singer Theater.
Comedy Slam.
Wow. Yeah.
That's just having something that big and feeling like, I guess, the roar of the crowd, just how they come out. Like, from the beginning, is it easy to deal with? Like, especially once you get to a big crowd like that. Like, is the energy automatically there because this is what they came for?
I feel like people that go to those big shows, those aren't people who follow comedy. They see big names on the bill. That's a date night now. It's not people who going trying to find your regular Saturday night show at the Hi-Ho Lounge. You know what I'm saying? That's not those people. Those people not paying $60 for a ticket either. So it's the casual fan that come to shows like that. So they don't know what to expect because they don't do comedy shows like that. They expect them what they see on TV. They expecting Def Jam. They expecting fucking Kings of Comedy. You know what I'm saying? That's what they expecting. They expecting to bust their gut, throw their drink in the air, you know what I'm saying, kick their leg up, get in the aisle and dance type comedy. You know what I'm saying? It ain't always like that. And then there'd be camera manipulation and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? So
that makes it even more nervous. It's like, oh, these niggas is a whole bunch of niggas that don't give a fuck. So
the only thing about doing stuff like that, you don't even know when you're on a big ass stage like that.
Yeah.
I think the stage at the Singer is probably 50 feet wide, maybe. On a big ass stage like that, who do you look at?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, eyes go? Like, because you know, and when we're doing our regular shows, like 100-some people, something like that, what we do? We pinpoint who we going to talk to, who we going to look at, who we going to make eye contact with the most in that show. In a show like that, you can't even see people.
Yeah, I would assume you can't just assume they're there. Off the stage. It'd be bogus when I'd be stepping on stages and I can't see nobody in the crowd.
But you know they're there.
People, yeah.
You him.
Yeah.
But you can't see him.
It's like, I just got to go with this fucking set and I got to pretend that people are out there and I know... It's that whole mind thing. But once you get in the motions, everything's fine. But like it's I know it was when I did my show, the Inquisitor's Observations at Always in the back there. Right. I couldn't see nobody in the crowd, and I was like, oh man, so I'm gonna just have to listen for laughter and shit. Cause this is weird. It's weird to just be reciting shit now. That's what it turns into me. It's like, oh, now you're just going to be reciting shit.
That's a good room at Always, too. Mm-hmm. In that back part, that's a good room.
Yeah, I do enjoy that, though. It's a little intimate space.
Yeah.
And it's 75-seater.
It's good, man. Yeah. It's good.
Mm-hmm. So everybody now is on the next phase of the come-up, basically.
Right.
Since everything is doing well down here, especially the shows, especially all that's picking up, you know, me coming back from LA, which was, that was a goddamn journey.
But you needed that though.
Yeah, to see.
Because you needed that.
I had it in my head that this is the place, like, cause ain't nobody really telling us what to do out here and how to do it.
Right.
You know, this is just from listening to podcasts since I've started comedy, like that was one of the things that I thought I needed to do to go ahead and excel my career in doing this, and, which it was not. It is not. You don't have to do that at
I'm
all.
Trying to get my people to understand this. They like I got friends who live in LA begging me to move back to LA.
Yeah.
Begging me to come out there full time. I'm getting booked in LA in New Orleans.
Right.
Like, I'm getting booked to come perform in LA. I said, that shit don't happen.
Yeah.
Like, people don't just get booked to come to LA and perform like that. Yeah. It's so many comics already there. So if I just come there and I jump in the water out there, it's like I'm starting all over.
Yeah, hold on, that's not the place. That is that.
I'm starting all over.
That they got dirty water down there.
Expensively to start all over, you know.
Expensively dirty water. They water is trash.
Yeah.
It's like what are we doing? I don't understand what y'all expect to be doing out there in those open mics. I hope they get better. I hope motherfuckers learn how to host, because not everybody knows how to host down there, which makes the mics even worse. Some people are good. You gotta find your places though. You gotta find your places, and everything's so spread out, so it's difficult. It's difficult to get around, and it's very expensive for no reason. Goddamn.
See, that's another thing I say. Like, all that shit talking about LA comics and all this and that. No offense to nobody, but I don't see like the killers
in LA.
Like that, you know what I'm saying?
No.
I'm talking about like the stage killers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, it's very
fucking the stage up. You know what I'm saying?
Very, very rare that you'd see that.
Yeah,
out there. I've still been waiting to see somebody that's like, oh, all right, you're not gonna.
You
the
see
part.
Me be like, oh, I can see why this motherfucker is on.
Yeah, you
on
get
late night.
Most
you know
of the time,
saying?
You get pissed off when you see some of the shit. And be like, oh, nigga, you making it? And really, hold on, what are we doing here?
Right.
Whose toes is you sucking, sir?
Right. Yeah.
It makes me. You see a lot of that bullshit that happens out there, and like every time I talk about this, son, I talk about how you can. I can read a room pretty well, and situations out there you can read pretty well. And I'm like, ugh, this none of this feels right. All this feels like is negative and icky.
Yeah,
like it doesn't.
Yeah.
It feels
favoritism,
like some,
type shit.
Feels like some real hateful shit is going on out here, and I don't know how to combat it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna just. Like, that going out there made me not like the Comedy Store anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it was the place that I was like, oh, this is the Mecca here. This is where I want to come. And then I get there, and I'm like, oh, bitch, y'all not even trying. Y'all
right.
Just want to see who going to make it, and then you going to fucking...
And piggyback.
You going to fucking hold on to the coattail from there, hope they drag you on in. And I'm like, nah, you know what? I don't like none of this.
And it's the venues that's doing that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's crazy.
You see, when I really seen how the dumbness of how fake shit was out there, not as saying that everything is fake, like, because most of the shit, like, the people that's in it are legit as fuck. Like, the people that have made it, they're legit. But the motherfuckers that's doing the fake shit, like, you see the niggas that laugh extra hard.
Yeah.
You know, the motherfuckers that bring a whole crowd just for one person, just so they can laugh really hard.
Yeah.
And it's like... Why is y'all doing that, son? You know shit ain't that funny, son. You can point out all the little succubus and shit out there, and it's like, yeah.
Which is why I think that in New Orleans, we lucky.
Yeah.
We lucky to have the struggle that we got. Mm-hmm. Because it makes us a whole different type of beast when we in another city.
Yeah.
Especially a comedy city.
Yep.
But us not, we gotta fight with second lines. Bars, mm-hmm. Jazz music, bounce music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much shit.
Yeah.
Before you would say, let me go check out a comedian.
Right.
Like.
Right. And that's why out there, I was kind of nullified to all of the dumb shit that was happening. And I'm like, oh, y'all don't. Nigga, y'all out here like third graders, son. Y'all don't really know what to do or how to really host or run an open mic thing. Yeah, I was like, oh, y'all need a class, because this is not where to start at. This is where you start at. This is not a good place to start. Like, I'm like, yeah, people should, there should be a category, or motherfuckers should put on a map of the best places to start doing comedy, and the best places, like, once you, like, a grading system of different states in the city of where you should go to do your comedy at. Like, once you start off, you should probably start here. This is the best place to start.
Yeah.
And then branch off from there, like, once you get, I guess, like, to an elementary school or middle school status, probably go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then, you know, branch off from there. But I know this is probably the place to start off for most people, because
I can see it, man. New Orleans comedy scene getting hot. We getting to the point now where it's probably like at least 2 mics a night.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. Especially the number of comics that we have.
Like, every night.
Every night there's a mic somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to 504
comedy.
Comedy.com. Yeah, man. Shout out to them, because that's a huge resource.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's you can see other people try to have the same thing, other states and stuff, but this is the cleanest I've seen, like, a registry of the shows and shit that are happening in the city. And shout out to Jeff. And
yeah, shout out to them, man.
He's doing his thing with shout that. Out to them. And we need that. We need that just to keep things moving in the city, just so other people don't have to keep asking the question. Because that used to piss me off when I first started down doing this. People be like, what mics they got? What mics they got?
You know, I'm going to go.
Yeah. I'd be it's like, a big man, thing. Look, they got this spot. They got that. I was like, shit, man. I wish I just had something written down and fucking.
Well, I can know where the mic's at, what funny, time they are, and what
funny
day they
thing,
are.
Goddamn. I remember when Tiffany Haddish first came down. Mm-hmm. And she came down. We was at the Holland Wolf and shit. And
yeah.
We was kicking it and all that. And, like, we had built up a rapport from the last time I seen it and whatnot. And, like, she was like, all right, so what mics they and shit they got? I was like, they got this, they got that I go to, they got this. And then Andrew Polk was right there. And Andrew Polk was like, no, here, look, here's just a list of the registries of what we got. I was like, you sly motherfucker.
Yeah.
You already had a list of, God damn it, why didn't I think of this?
Right.
I was like, I never decided to put it down in categories of where I should be going and what to be doing. And he had a whole list. I'm like, damn it, we need something like that. Just so I don't have to embarrass myself like this anymore. And eventually, not too long after, 504 Comedy came out. So I'm like, okay, good.
Right.
Good. This is good to have.
That's a good thing, though, man. That's a good thing. So what do you see shit going for you in 2020?
I see more things. I see more things about my life being aired, I guess. Because once this comes out, it's like, oh, this is what you like. Like, I want people to actually, like, get an insight of who I am now. Because,
facts.
Yeah, that, I mean, if I'm going to be putting myself out on stage and shit, I would prefer.
You got to be you.
Yeah, I prefer to have people know, like, the real person instead of being like, oh, this is who he's going to be on stage. Nah. Because, like, I think it, ever since I have been molded by podcasting and shit, ever since I've been on stage, that's how I've always feel as if you should come on stage instead of being, like, some type of made-up character. Just be yourself, you know. That's what basically gets me to the game, you know, being able to. And I found that people that talk about their own life situations, it makes other people feel comfortable just be like, oh, so my
relatable.
Family ain't crazy as well.
Being relatable.
Right.
Yeah.
And then to being able to bring that to the stage, that's, like, just honesty. And you can't really fault this person because they've shown you their flaws, so that makes somebody even more likable.
Right.
And the most successful people that I've seen that have been really successful, Kevin Hart, boom, he talks about family and life relations. Goddamn Richard Pryor, same thing.
Yeah, Ray Romano. Just,
yeah.
Everybody loves Raymond, come from a comedy set.
All of it.
You know what I'm saying?
All of that. And it's just like, oh, well, that's the formula right there. Like, just continue with that, and of course you're going to succeed. Seems like some people don't really notice the formula and try to be things that they're not, and that's what I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I hate it. Like, the first time I went out to L.A., there was this dude that I ran into, and he was a character. Like, he was a legit character. Like, he had an outfit that I'm pretty sure he never changed, and he had two raggedy bitches with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? And he was like, what's up, man? And, like, we started shooting the shit and all that. But I was like, I can't take you serious, dude. Like, I don't understand what the fuck is going on. Like, this is for real, for real?
Yeah.
Like, you like this every day? Like, what happens when you go to sleep? Are you still this nigga? Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. This has got to drive you crazy just to see if you're going to succeed from being this guy.
Right.
You can't always be this guy, dude. This is aggravating the shit. And you know what? I'm not going to be your friend. I'm not going to be your friend. It's probably the last time we're going to kick it ever. Because, like, he had an Instagram. Nigga, he had, like, six different videos with the same outfit on. And he had, like almost, like, 100K or something like that.
See what I'm saying, bro?
View.
Definitely,
like,
a character.
What the fuck is
definitely
this?
Definitely a character.
I was like, I don't know what to take of this. I don't know how to think about this. Like, I don't know if I can't trust you. I definitely can't trust you. I don't even know who you are. You know, this ain't you for real. I've met two people out there like that, and I'm like, oh, y'all, all right. Because once that character, they're always in that character. But once right. they're not that character and you see them out of their character, they want to pretend like they don't know nobody. And it's like, a bit. I just, really? Now you going to pretend? I don't get it. I don't get it, L.A. This is how y'all want to be sure. do what y'all do. So what's the next phase with the comedy, son? You've written plays, and you've done how many tours?
Countless amount of tours, man. Just with Sweet Spot Nation alone, just, you know.
And the Sweet Spot. That was something.
I'm at the point right now, though, honestly, in 2020, where I don't know what comedy fits in my life right now with mm-hmm. the amount of stuff I got going on.
Mm-hmm.
Comedy is like, for me right now, comedy is like an older child. Comedy is a preteen,
uh-huh.
right? Comedy, so being a preteen can kind of take care of yourself a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Mm. You can fix your own food, mm-hmm. let yourself in the house, let yourself out, have a curfew.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As far as all my other new projects, it's like, I got to nourish them.
Right.
And I got to get them going. All while still giving comedy what it needs, the basics it needs to survive.
Yeah.
So that's
huh.
That's where I'm at in my life. Just, so I'm still getting booked for a lot of stuff still constantly. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like I don't see myself making a lot of plans for yeah. comedy.
Huh.
Like I was before. Right. Not saying I'm not making no comedy plans.
Right.
Just not making the ones like I was.
Focusing
before.
on something a little different.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. But not forgetting about comedy. I don't want to get it twisted.
Yeah.
I just don't know what comedy fit at. And I think as time goes on, comedy is gonna show me. Uh-huh. It's gonna show me where I belong.
Ah, just waiting for it to settle in and give you what it got. That's what's up. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I just need to actually get out there in the world. I would like to. I need to travel more. I've wanted this to always take me into traveling and shit, but I've never known how to actually go about, like, oh, how can I show up here and make it profitable? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the keys to actually doing something like that? To actually being able to get to a booking yourself at different venues that possibly haven't seen you or something like that.
That's the thing. My thing is, Kyle, I don't do comedy clubs.
Right.
I stay away from comedy clubs.
Huh.
My whole career, I've probably done a handful of clubs. Uh-huh. Only because I don't like the club system.
What is the club system?
Like, I don't like the way they do their bookings. I don't like the way they pay. You know what I'm saying? It's like you got to kiss their ass to really be a part of it. And coming from New Orleans, we never had the club system, so that's probably why I don't... That's probably another reason why I don't really fuck with the club system.
Skip that.
So I'd rather go bet on myself, book a venue in said city,
uh-huh.
and put something together and get, you know, and grassroot it and get people in the building.
Huh.
The resources are there to do it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just got to do that. Like
Is that where you do your start from, or do you do your start from, like, to say, to get said following in said city, do you go to that city first and do, like, the open mics or something like that? Or do you hop on the shows that are there?
I actually go to cities that I've been to before, since I've been doing it so long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I go to cities that I've been to before, and I get my numbers.
Mm.
And then I, you know, get my followers up, things like that. Then I let them know when I'm coming back, I hit those people up. Through email, things like that, Eventbrite, you know, there's ways. All my social medias. Just touching people.
Huh. I guess that's the next phase then. The next phase in my outlook in it. Because, well, see, that's the start of building that base, I guess. So you are capable of being able to jump to other places. And so I guess it just builds from there. Like, how long should you have to do that? Well, can it be your first time going out there? And then the second time, let me get a book spot? Something
well,
sort.
I don't even do that. I jump over all that shit. I jump over all that shit and just book a venue there.
Yeah.
I find a venue and I book it.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a weird.
It's a weird way to do it, but that's the way I go about it, bro.
Well, yeah, I would assume especially if you got the followings in that city.
Right.
You can definitely get it to come. You can definitely get it to pop off. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, that's facts.
That's what's up. How do you feel about music music and comedy?
Like putting them on the same ticket?
Yeah. Like,
I'm not a fan of it, me personally.
Okay, most people that are really into doing comedy, they don't care.
I don't like the mix, man.
Yeah,
I don't like the mix. But every now and then, I'll do it.
Uh huh.
Because I understand it. I understand artists are hungry. I understand they need outlets to perform.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just come from a place where we don't necessarily have no outlets for the comedian. So
right. Boom. I'm gonna keep this to myself.
The role being reverse. Uh-huh. You know, but I give musical artists a chance. Mm-hmm. You know, to open up for me and stuff like that. I just don't like mixing them. It's so hard to sell a ticket that says music and comedy on it.
Oh yeah.
Because people are stuck in their ways.
Yeah.
Sometimes say if you bought a ticket to go to a rap show.
Yeah.
But they roll out a comedian to come do 10 minutes. Shit. They looking at you crazy like.
Yeah.
Why y'all got him? You know what I'm saying? Like, we here for rap.
Have you ever had to do a show like that? Oh, if you there for a comedy? That?
Plenty of times.
Oh.
If you there for a comedy show, and the comedian, then we bring out a rapper.
Mm.
People going to be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
This ain't what we signed up for?
Right.
So, I try not to mix them.
Yeah.
I try to think about the consumer.
True.
Everything don't need to be a Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Everything don't need to be a Walmart, dog. You don't have to be get your shirt where you got your salad. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
That's true. That is a good way to look at it. It's like, goddamn, we need everything in here. I've been to maybe one really major big show. I've actually been on a big show. Kind of sort of. Shawty was down here.
Yeah.
What my name is? Mm-hmm. Shawty. Yeah, that's That was a terrible time.
On that too, or what?
They had a DJ. They had a DJ that would play during the set. It would be part of the set.
Yeah.
Just like, such and such, yada yada. And the DJ did, and then the DJ would play a little clip of something stupid. And I was like, I do not like this type of comedy at all. That wasn't for me, but. Nigga Shawty thought I was Lil Duval, so we just stayed and we smoked in the back, which was cool as fuck. But he kept showing me his videos, and I didn't care for that at all.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care to bond like this with you, Shawty. I don't want to bond with you like this at all. Videos are kind of funny, but I don't care to see all of them.
Right, right.
You gonna
right.
show me all of them? They're like at least 5 minutes, and I gotta watch them. So you're doing some autistic shit right now, and I don't appreciate you.
Look what I do.
Yeah. Like, stop, man. Like, can we just smoke? This is memorable for me just to be smoking with you. You know, you got to do some dumb shit that is pissing me. All right, you know what? And then I went up there, and I fucking wound up getting booed by 500 fucking 18-year-olds, son.
Crazy.
Yeah. I was like, this is a terrible day. And it was a goddamn... Kenny Harris production.
As on a college campus?
Yeah.
Was that Dillard?
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. These niggas just sit down not knowing what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm like, oh, this is not going to work at all. Yeah, and basically they just wanted that wildin' out shit.
Right.
It's like, oh, let's rap and real.
Yo, they don't, bro. Comedy is an old man game.
Yeah.
I feel like nobody under 25 really fucking with comedy like that.
It doesn't seem like it.
It don't sound like you're going to go seek out a comedy show.
Nah, we're not doing dances and silly shit.
Not under that age, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I've been doing comedy so long, but I'm thinking my friends didn't really start coming to shows till we was probably about 25, 26.
Oh, once they got older and understood.
Yeah, you got an old lady now, you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. I got to settle down.
Y'all need date night ideas.
Right.
So...
Yeah.
Most comedy shows have food.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I get my food, my drink, and my entertainment at one place.
A young
this
man
some old
sport.
Nigga shit. I'm about to eat. I'm about to jump myself and go my ass home.
Colleges would not be the thing. That is true.
Right.
Unless you can relate to them with some dumb shit.
Right.
And basically, I'm coming with the dumb shit. So I
even if you look back on Def Comedy Jam tapes.
Yeah.
The crowd was older.
Old.
The crowd was older.
Old pimp heads and shit.
Yeah, the crowd was always older cats, man.
Yeah. Huh. Oh my God. Like, that just never dawned on me.
The crowd was always older cats, man. Always older cats.
It never dawned on me. Yeah.
Right.
Because coming up, seeing Tosh and shit, and him doing college tours.
Yeah.
But then...
That's different, though.
Yeah, that was around the time when I was in college. So
White
I was
Cats
like,
is different I'm, with that comedy shit, though.
Yeah. That is true. That they have a niche.
No offense to y'all White Cats, but it's different, dog. It's
offense to Demetri
HBCU, Martin. HBCU comedy fucking club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, comedy show.
Right.
And a PWI comedy show. That's some different shit.
Huh.
Like, I do Tulane every year.
Yeah.
It's way different. Tulane, my biggest crowd.
Yeah.
I just stand to think about it. Tulane, my biggest crowd.
Huh.
I do Devlin Fieldhouse.
And that's, what is the age demographic inside?
Well, that's all 19-year-olds.
Oh.
18, 19-year-olds. Yeah.
How does that feel?
Well, it's cool. They be turned.
They be turned. That's exactly what it
I'm
is.
I'm the first New Orleans person they get to meet at Tulane.
Oh, because, you straight city, so.
Yeah, well, I'm literally, Tulane booked me to come out and do like an hour.
Yeah.
In the Devlin Fieldhouse with them.
Uh-huh, that's amazing.
Crazy. Shit, be turned. It'd be crazy.
But people listening to you is like nigga going on a hilarious tour of the city.
Plus, so. I'm from down the street. Yeah. I grew up down the street from Tulane. So it's like, I'm going to tell y'all who not to talk to around this motherfucker.
That works perfectly.
You see $5 Phil around this bitch.
$5.
He might have some good shit for you.
That works well, goddammit. Nigga, because this shit here, like, I'm glad to be able to stick to my own people, the people of my kind. I'm building a small following, but they're finally coming along, and I like it, cause I've ran into other, like that younger crowd. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not with it. I get aggravated real quick, and I'm like, oh, okay, y'all don't give a fuck for this dumb shit. Mm-hmm. All right, you know what? I'm not ready to deal with any of this. And see, the thing is, I actually went to see, I went and seen Demetri Martin at a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like UNO or some stupid shit. And I sat there. It was a free show to come in. Sat in that motherfucker. 10 minutes, my nigga. Ten minutes. I couldn't do it. I was like, nigga, they love this shit.
Yeah.
I haven't laughed yet.
Right.
Nigga, it hurts. It hurts to see this go down like this, me
see,
being
see,
a comic
nothing.
Myself.
I don't watch comedy. Watch comedy.
I can't.
I couldn't tell you who did what on what special. I don't watch comedy.
It's getting harder now. It's getting harder now.
I never could, because I always felt like shit would bleed on me.
Oh, the dumb...
I felt like I would, you watch it so much. I think a lot of comics watch too much comedy.
The terrible shit that
they
comes
watch
up.
Too much
yeah.
comedy. So I try not to...
Yeah, I try to stick to my.
I want to work on my shit.
Meaning that you pick up the mannerisms of watching this other person, like when you first started.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you acting
and
like this.
And that's when comparisons come into play.
Yeah.
And people start comparing and shit like that. And
yeah.
Comparisons are just lazy.
I'm glad that the only comparison I get is the height now.
Yeah, it's based on your height. It ain't based on your delivery.
Right.
Or your joke.
Yeah.
Or your pattern. It ain't. Yeah.
I haven't gotten that too much anymore, so I'm like, oh, good. Now I'm getting to be my own self now. And
right.
People are looking at me as me and just being in the short nigga category of like, oh, you short like Kevin Hart, but you funny
that's
though.
It.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
like,
good.
You just short.
That's good. I'm glad that it's starting to work itself out and shit. Yeah, but it's so hard to be out here to be. People don't understand how difficult this shit is, man.
Right,
they just. They just think it's out there with the glitz and the glams. Oh, man, I see you on the internet, man. You doing well. You doing good. You doing big things.
Well, I'm glad you see it like
that,
sir.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
Like, and sir, this is Wendy's.
You know, if you look between the film on top of the puddle, nigga, you'll see under here, and we got motherfuckers drowning. So,
yeah.
Bitch, it is that. It's not that simple.
Nope. Well, I gotta eat my food.
It's fun. Yeah, you do your thing. I feel you, son. And time has just flew on this motherfucker.
It has, man. It has
been amazing. Man. Well, thank you, man. Thanks for having me over at your beautiful place here.
Yeah, thanks for coming through.
Showing me, giving me some knowledge and shit. This is what we all need, goddamn it. And, man. Oh, tell them where they can find you at.
Yeah. Find me on Instagram at Mark_Caesar. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, underscore, that little line that's on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And C-A-E-S-A-R. Yeah, C-A-E-S-A-R. The A is before the E.
Oh.
Like the salad dressing.
You got to get that right.
Yeah, C-A-E-S-A-R. that, and you can find me on Facebook at my comedy page, comedian Mark Caesar. And on Twitter at PissYoPants, the number one. That's PissYo pants in the number one.
Mm.
That's me.
That is. Do you know anything about Joker? Any of the Jokers?
Oh yeah, I like Joker. The movie with Joaquin.
Well, just
I love that one.
Oh, you loved. All right. So which if you had to pick a Joker out of all the Jokers that are out there, which Joker do you think best?
I'll go Heat first.
Yeah.
I'll go Heat one. I'll go Jack two.
Oh, okay.
And I'll go Joaquin third.
Oh, that's the first time anybody ranked him like that.
Yeah, that's how I would do it.
That's what's up.
That's how I would do it. Jared Leto would be fourth. I feel like they could have did so much more with Leto's Joker. I liked his Joker.
He's very
I liked
colorful.
The gangster Joker.
Yeah.
I just felt like they could have did so much more with that Joker.
I was just trying to understand.
Why was that Joker there?
Just any of it. I'm like... All right, you're just gonna torture this chick, and then she's gonna love you. But then, what else are y'all doing? This is it. This is. Very
I thought
confusing.
That Joker could have did so much. I like that Joker.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have liked that Joker. I don't know. I think I could have liked that Joker. Yeah. I don't know. That's how I rank them. I got Heat Leto. First. I feel like because I watched that movie, Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it's a superhero movie. No. I thought that bitch just a movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a drama that just so happened to have a nigga in a costume.
It's a dark movie.
They did their thing on that.
It is meant to be like that purposely because everybody's always showing like glorified shit was Batman out the shit, make it all colorful. It was not.
You know how many people related to
grimy,
that Joker?
Gloomy. Yeah.
So many people related to that Joker.
Yeah. That was really good. Nicholson did his thing.
Yeah.
But you know, pass on the torch, goddamn.
Yeah. The Heat Joker was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me and my dad finally watched the new Joker.
You know how I got these scars.
Like good times. Well, man, this has been Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. Thank y'all for listening, and good night, evening, afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold it down for the 99 2000.